What is happening, people of the interwebs? Welcome to Season 2, Episode 6, otherwise known as Episode Number 31 of the Reverent Babble Podcast. This is Cody Kelly.
What's up? This is Neil Huntley.
And we're so happy that you come back to join us for some more Reverent Babbling.
What a beautiful day it is outside, by the way.
What a really nice change of pace, man. That's for sure. I'm definitely happy to look outside of the studio, aka my house. You know, just looking outside and seeing the sun.
Yeah. What is the sun? Can you remind me? I need reintroduce me because I hadn't seen him in so long. That it's just, you know, when he came out, what was it, yesterday afternoon?
I thought
like there was World War III or something. I didn't know what that bright, shiny thing was. I thought it was a nuke or something. I didn't know what was going on. But it was
definitely pretty crazy, that's for sure.
It has been sloppy wet outside for the past week. And, Cody, don't get used to the sunshine because, guess what, starting Friday, for the next 5 or 6 days after that, it's going to be wet again.
Yay.
And, I mean, it just smells. I tell people all the time, I can just walk out of my house in the morning and it just smells like a pond. It's just cold and wet everywhere and just sloshing everywhere.
Exactly.
So it's a beautiful day. I about want to say, hey, let's go put the stuff out on the back porch and record outside today. It's just so beautiful out.
Oh, for sure, man. Absolutely. I mean, you know, like the only thing that wouldn't be good about that is that the wind outside would be getting in the mics and the whole time you'd be hearing. You know what? The entire time we were talking.
And
so.
That just how, as annoying as it was to make that noise, it'd be double the annoying to hear it. But and I'm not rubbing in the face of people listening on Thursday because, according to the Weather Channel right now, it's going to be 62 and sunny on Thursday, too. So, but then Friday rain, Saturday cloudy, Sunday rain, Monday rain, Tuesday rain, and Wednesday rain. And then Thursday not rain and Friday rain. So, do we live in Seattle? No, we don't.
It's definitely starting to feel that way. Here the last, for the past couple weeks or so, for sure, it's definitely felt like we've been living in Seattle.
Absolutely. But, you know, this is not a weather or meteorology podcast. This is a sports and scripture and sports podcast.
Yes.
And what's new with you, Cody?
Well, let's see. I've been watching some Charlotte Hornets basketball. I got to see a really awesome win this past weekend against the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a lot of fun to see. I've obviously been doing some more classes and work on school, trying to stay as far ahead of schedule as I possibly can. And I also got to see Wingett play their first games at home in basically a year.
I actually
got to go to the stadium and watch a couple of their games last weekend.
You went on Sunday, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Cool deal, man. That was definitely a lot of fun. Sunday was a beautiful day to be at the baseball field too. It was a little chilly, but it was sunny. It was nice outside. We're talking about weather again now.
Oh yeah, I know. It was obviously a little bit cold outside, obviously, you know, just with temperature-wise and the wind with the temperature, obviously, you know, made it feel a little colder. But it was obviously nice just to be out in the sun watching some baseball live in person because I haven't done that in a very, very long time. So that was
really
fun.
Quick question for you.
Yes.
How did those foul lines look? Did the foul lines look good?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I painted them.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And now if they look bad, I didn't paint them. But since they look good, yeah, I painted them.
Whenever Wingett plays again at home in a couple weeks, I'll check them again to make sure how they're doing. Over there,
man. I don't think I have much OCD about some stuff. Like, I do a little bit, like making sure you know, the door's locked before I leave the house and stuff like that,
right? Of
but
course
I have never had OCD as much as I did the other day when I was putting the lines down. I was like, is that straight? Am I looking at it crooked? Hold on, let me lay down here, look like I'm measuring a putt. I was so worried it wasn't straight because I didn't want it to work in. It'd been okay if it worked in Wingett's favor, but I didn't want it to work in the other team's favor either. So I checked
it 14
times before I left the ball field that day.
Well, trust me, from watching just the two games or partially two games I watched on Sunday, you know, I don't think it would have mattered what you'd done because I think Queen's team would have found something wrong.
Oh, really?
And complain about it because, like, and like, you know, just because the entire time I was there, you could literally hear their bench from like all the way up the hill, and they were yelling.
Is that an unbiased opinion, Cody?
Sure. You take that opinion what you will, but I'm just saying that from the, at least for the time I was there, I mean, you know, Queen's bench is very loud, but obviously it's kind of understandable just because they lost the two games before, you know, like they were obviously trying to try to get things to lean towards their way, which obviously, if it was flipped the other way around and Wingate lost the first two yesterday, it would have probably been the same thing. So, you know, you can call it bias or not, but if it had been the other way around, it would have been the same thing with Wingate. So I'm not going to say too much there, you know, but overall, it was a fun week since the last time we did the show. I enjoyed it. I'm definitely enjoying this nice weather we're having. Yes, we're talking about weather again.
It's third time.
Yes, third time we're talking about weather again. But it was pretty awesome. I enjoyed the week. So, yeah, pretty good, man.
Cool deal, buddy.
So, man, how about you? What's new with you?
Had a pretty decent weekend, buddy. I mean, it wasn't nothing extravagant. It wasn't nothing too fancy. But it was sometimes it's the simple things that make weekends the most enjoyable.
Right, know? Yeah.
Well, and it was simple for us, but it wasn't too simple for my in-laws, Amber's sister and her husband. They finally moved into their new house. It's been a long time coming. I think I remember we went over Saturday night and had pizza because, you know, every time you move to a new house, the first meal's got to be pizza, right? That's just how you, like, christen the new house.
Right,
and
yeah.
So we were just over there hanging out eating pizza, and I believe Amanda said, well, it's about time we moved in. It was October 2019 when we first bought the land or first looked at the land. I was like, dang. I
mean, that's a long time coming.
It took a while. Yeah, so, you know, I'm sure it's a relief off their shoulders and things like that.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now they're actually unpacking, you know, which is just a whole, you know, whole different side of it.
Yes.
You build up to that moment of having that house, and now you unpack it and make it your house, you know?
Right.
And so I'm sure they're still busy doing that this week. But it was fun helping get some stuff moved over there the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of, you know, getting it all started for them and just hanging out with them on Saturday night, too. And then Sunday we had a bonfire Sunday night with the youth, which was fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We've been doing really good and being deep in the Word the past few weeks. And so I think, you know what, you know, it's going to be a cool night. It's going to be a clear night. Let's have fire. You know,
I had
plenty of boxes to burn, as y'all saw.
Yes.
I had plenty of cardboard to burn.
Plenty of cardboard and we had plenty of cardboard and plenty of sticks, thanks to Tate.
Yeah, Tate was, you know, our little Bear Grylls out there getting the sticks, and that was awesome. And I told him, I said, you know, Tate, I should have prepared better for this. I should have went ahead and got the sticks gathered. But, you know, he was all for it, man. I was proud of him. He's an awesome member of the youth group because he's just a go-getter, and I love, because I'm a go-getter too. And so I loved having him around Sunday night as well. But we had a good time just hanging out, had some worship music on in the background.
Yes.
Everybody just giggling, having a good time. And, you know, you're kind of, like I said, you're a redshirt youth member this year.
Yeah, pretty much,
You're a fifth year.
Yes.
But, like, the kids younger than you. Like,
right.
Like, the kids like Tate's age. Like, the kids, like, a little bit older than Tate, some of the freshmen in high school,
right?
They need that more now than ever because,
oh yeah,
I mean, especially if they don't go to school in person at all. Some of them go two or three times a week, but you know, some of them, they might not go at all. Some of them might be even chose to be homeschooled this year because all the stuff going on.
Right, of course.
So they need that time of fellowship, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And we don't, I don't say this on here to, you know, say like all we do at youth group is just hang out and you know, giggle. Mm. We get into scripture and we're going to get into it till Wednesday night this week too. But, you know, I just felt like, you know, they need a little break and they just need time to hang out and enjoy each other. And it was great, even though it was just for an hour. And it was a great time, and now we're here today and looking forward to having a good show today, buddy.
All right, man. Yes, same here, man.
All right, cool.
Well,
we got the Double Play Devo coming up, and then we got some sports, and then we'll find out what the minor league baseball team of the week is. This is probably the most random one we've had so far.
Yes, it has. I saw it, and I can definitely say that it definitely was, for sure.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, and we're back. Welcome to this week's Double Play Devo. And this week, it will be Neil presenting his Double Play Devo for us this week.
Yeah, I'm excited to do this, man. I told you the title last night was Defend Your Turf.
Yes.
Kind of fitting to go along with this whole sports theme of this show anyway.
Right.
And so start out by asking you just a simple question. Okay. And this doesn't have anything. It's not deep. So when I say simple, I'm not being sarcastic.
Okay. That's cool. Thank you.
Can you tell me what Under Armour's slogan, at least what their old slogan used to be?
protect this house?
Yeah, protect this house.
Or just to say it cool, protect this house.
Yeah, that too. But I remember going to Panthers games when, especially when they had Cam, you know, kind of, hold on, let me hear sad violin music for a second. Okay, we don't have Cam anymore. It's okay, we're past that. We're talking about scripture right now. But especially when we had Cam, they had an Under Armour little sponsorship with the Panthers. Uh-huh. Okay, and so like every other little timeout or something, they would play this little thing and say, you know, you got to protect this house, you know, because it's talking about right. having Under Armour.
Yeah.
And I remember when I played football, when I was at Anson playing football, when every time we would, right before we'd run out of the tunnel, we'd go, whose house? Cat's house. Whose house? Cat's house. And just get real loud about it. And they would break it down and go, and just run out of the tunnel, smoke, you know, little firecrackers going off, everything. But you're told in sports to do everything you can to win at home. Right. So they tell you, like in the NFL, to win all your home games and win half your road games, and you should make the playoffs, right?
I mean,
it's 12-4. That's pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
So you ought to win all your home games and half your road games, but you must win at home. And it's like they teach you that at every type of sport to defend your home turf, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I think the best way to defend our home turf in life is to make sure that the ones in our house, our physical house, I'm trying not to get what I'm saying today and this part two of the lesson tomorrow night church mixed up, because I'm talking about houses there too.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I think the best defense strategy to defend your turf, your house, the four walls that you live in,
right,
is to serve God, is to serve the Lord. That's the best way to have defense, the strongest defense in your house.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm reading out of scripture today in the book of Joshua, chapter 24. And right before we hit record, we were trying to figure out, like, you know, a little bit of the background, kind of refreshing, because it's been a while since I read Joshua.
Yeah, same here.
And I was like, Cody, how old was Joshua around here? And you were like, I'm pretty sure he was, like, near his deathbed. And then we scroll down. I'm reading out of verse 15, and we scroll down to verse 29, and he's dying, or he passed away. So it's very, very, very close to him passing away on earth, for sure.
Yeah, I was about to say, very, very close to his death.
So quick context, Joshua's very old at this time.
Yes.
And he's just talking to the people, okay, and he's just telling them the best way to live this life, okay? And I'm going to read right out of verse 15. It says, and actually, I'll start in verse 14. It'll make more sense that way.
All right.
It says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods, that's lowercase g, put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods, and both of these are lowercase g,
right,
or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay? We see that. I guarantee you there's about 87 things at Hobby Lobby with that saying on there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where people hang that up in their house. And that's okay to do that.
Oh, yeah. But just a quick funny story real quick. At the house that we lived in before we moved into the house that we're at now, we had a little thing at our front door, and it was a little plaque that said, as for me and my house, we'll be able
to. Yeah, and that's a good thing to have on there. Another cool thing about, you know, defending your house and serving God within your house, especially when people build houses, like, from the ground up, is to write verses on, like, the support beams and things like that around it that'll be within the walls, you know?
Right.
Even though you won't be able to actually see it once you get the drywall and all that hung up, but you know it's there. You know it's part of the roots of your house, mm-hmm. you know, which I think is a really cool thing that, you know, we're looking at.
Oh, yeah, same here.
We're looking at the next couple of years, Amber and I, getting our own house. We're not going to leave Midway or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, eventually we want something that's ours, something that, you know, Graham can grow up at and things like that. And,
right,
you know, if we do decide to build, you know, just go ahead and help me pray for patience now. But but if we do decide to do that, I would love to write scripture within the beams and within the, you know, the lumber of inside the skeleton of the house. You know, I think that would be really cool to write it on the foundation, you know, write it on the cornerstone. We talked about cornerstones Wednesday night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Just everybody's got a different way of living in their house, right?
Yes.
Like your house rules might be different from my house rules. I remember, like, when I was growing up, like, if I went to a friend's house, they may have certain different types of rules when it came to like playing with stuff or, you know, eating certain food or watching TV for a certain amount of time versus right. what it was in my house, you know, because just people are different.
Right.
And that's kind of what Joshua was saying. Like, you know, I'm telling you what's right, but it's your choice. You know, it's your choice. If you don't think that you need to serve God,
oh, yeah.
that's on you. But I'm telling you that you're wrong, right? but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I think that's the best way to defend your turf, especially in the crazy world that it is now that we live in.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you can't turn on the news without getting stressed out about something, whether it's something racial, whether it's something political, whether it's something going along with day 397 of this 14-day pandemic, you know? Whatever it is, you need a defense mechanism in your house. And what better, there's no better defense mechanism than diving into Scripture on a regular basis in your house, praying with your spouse, praying with your kid, praying with your siblings, okay?
Yeah.
Take what you learn at church more than just the ride home. Because I feel like, especially, and, you know, I don't drive home from church. I just walk home from church.
Yes.
But sometimes I feel like me and Amber will talk about what Pastor Barry said, and then we get caught up in the routine of the rest of the day, you know?
Right.
We don't really take it to heart sometimes. We listen to him, and then we hear what he has to say, and I tell him every single time that I enjoy it, you know, because I want to let him know that I was listening, right?
Right.
But sometimes we just get so caught up in what's next that we don't take to heart what we learned and use it. Okay,
right.
We just kind of discuss it on the way home, and then that's it. And then we talk about whoever had the aggravating little kid in the back, you know, stuff like that. But use what you learn at church, whether it's in your youth group, whether it's at choir practice, whether it's the welcome team out in the parking lot, whatever you learned at church that day, use it in your home for your defense mechanism. Okay,
yeah,
because we can defend ourselves from physical things on this earth with other measures, but you know. From a spiritual warfare standpoint, we need to have our house rooted in faith in Jesus, okay? We need to have the strength to know what to do when hard times come. We need to have the strength to know what to do when Christians start, when it seems that it may be illegal to be a Christian one day. We don't know. You know, I'm not saying it is now, but make sure that you're defending your turf with the Spirit of Jesus. All right, it is sports time, and boy, do we have a lot of sports to talk about today.
Yes, we do.
Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. This is
the Weekly Score. There you go.
All right, Cody.
Never getting better.
I think.
You think?
We got some baseball to talk about today.
Yes, we do have some baseball.
If I remember correctly, I think the Braves have a spring training game on Sunday.
Yes, they do.
Oh, boy.
Baseball is officially back. Spring training has officially started. And Neil, I cannot wait. I have been looking forward to this. Obviously, since the last episode, we have gotten to see a few college baseball games. Obviously, for me, I'm a big college baseball guy. Kind of helps when you've been with a college baseball team for 4 years.
True.
You kind of like to watch college baseball, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, obviously, I'm excited just for baseball to be back. Got to see some college baseball. But now, the spring training has officially started with all 30 MLB teams reporting into spring training, both in Arizona and Florida. So that's definitely a lot of fun. And with that comes the first power rankings of the 2021 season.
So I had a feeling you were going to have some power rankings about baseball.
I got to have power rankings about baseball, dude. I mean, you know
what? You are the power rankings of all power rankings.
Yes, I am, for sure. Yes, I am, for sure. Like, I'm just a big fan of how everybody likes to rank stuff, just so I can kind of give my opinions about that kind of stuff.
Cool.
So, to kind of start out, I want to talk about the top five teams in the MLB according to these power rankings. With number one, this is probably not going to be a surprise to anyone, but the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yes.
That's kind of obvious. I'm pretty sure everyone kind of expected that one, the Dodgers, to be number one, because they are obviously the World Series champs. They finally won a World Series after like a million tries, and now they're here to defend their title.
I'm just going to suffer through while you talk about the Dodgers, and I'll just be ready for the next topic.
Yes.
I still
don't blame you there.
Still an open sore, okay?
I don't blame you there, but But obviously, there were a bunch of moves made this offseason, especially by the Padres, who we'll talk about in just a minute. But one big reason why the Dodgers are still number one is obviously because they won the World Series, but also because of a big free agent sign that we talked about a couple weeks ago on the show, Trevor Bauer.
Yep.
He just adds to a team that is already stacked, obviously, because they won the World Series. And let's be honest, really the only major players that the Dodgers lost were Kike Hernandez, who went to my Boston Red Sox, mm-hmm. and Jock Peterson, who went to the Cubs.
Wow.
Other than that,
I didn't know Peterson went to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, though, the team remains essentially the same as far as like big name players that have left. I'm sure there's a couple of, you know, bench players I forgot about, but you know, but this is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
What?
The core is still there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, for sure. So this is pretty much the same Dodgers team that we saw last year, only it's arguably even better with Trevor Bauer in there to be part of that pitching staff. So just kind of think about this for a minute, Neil, for just the pitching rotation alone. You got Trevor Bauer, you got Walker Buehler, you got Clayton Kershaw, you got David Price if he chooses to play this year. I mean, he's not that great, but I just thought I'd mention him anyway just because he used to be on the Red Sox. And I'm honestly glad he's gone. But anyway,
yeah.
And then you got they obviously got other really great pitchers like Dustin May, you know, the big dude with the big red hair. Mm-hmm. You got Dustin
Old
May
Carrot
in there.
Carrot Top, yep.
Yeah. You know, and that's just to name a few players on that pitching staff. Obviously, when you're talking about their offense, you can basically just go down that whole lineup and just say, yep, pretty good. That guy's really good. I mean, for crying out loud, man, where do you start with the Dodgers offense? You got Mookie Betts. You got Cody Bellinger. You got Corey Seager.
Are you doing this on purpose?
Partially, yes. But but just the point, you look up and down that Dodgers lineup, it's stacked, and they're definitely a team that is going to definitely be a thorn in the side of basically everybody that they play this year.
Oh, you got biblical there. Good job.
Yes. Yes, I did. Thank you very much.
Quick question about the Dodgers.
Yes.
And, well, L.A. sports in general. So, you know Stafford's on the Rams now.
Yes.
Right? So, how many times, just go ahead and guess, how many times do you think TV stations are going to show that picture where Kershaw and Stafford grew up together? Because you've seen that picture before, right?
Oh, yes, for
so,
sure.
And now they're
I've seen a picture a bunch of times.
They're both in the same city.
Yes.
And think of how many times the Dodgers are on primetime. And probably now, you know, the Rams usually have at least one Monday and one Sunday or
yes.
at least two primetime games. Think of how many times we're going to see a Kershaw and Stafford picture.
It's going to be a lot this year.
Yes.
And I'm sure we'll also see Matt Stafford at a lot of Dodgers games uh-huh. as well this season.
That's right.
You know, he'll be in the, you know, like he'll be in the stands just waving the Kershaw while he's on the mound.
So he's probably holding a picture up. Like, you remember this picture
yeah.
that everybody just would try to think nobody's ever seen? Oh, yeah, they've seen it for the 400th time today. So yeah.
Yes, absolutely. All right, changing gears from the Dodgers. Number two is a team that's in the same division as the Dodgers, the San Diego Padres.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I begin to talk about this team? They made so many moves in just the last two seasons. It is ridiculous. That team is completely different than it was 2 years ago.
That team was forgettable 2 years ago.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, like you're pretty much the only player that you could talk about on the Padres who was pretty good was Will Myers.
Yeah.
And that was basically it. But since then, the Padres got literally every single good player that they possibly could and either traded him or signed him or whatever.
You remember how weird we thought it was when Machado signed with the Padres?
Yes.
And now look at it.
And now just looking at the team behind them, it's like, okay, yeah, that just makes perfect sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but when it first happened, we're like, what?
Out of all it's like the Padres?
He chose the Padres. But yeah, it makes perfect sense now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the Padres got Melanson from Atlanta. I was very
yes,
sad to see that because I like watching Melanson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I remember watching Melanson when he used to be the closer for Pittsburgh, and he was pretty awesome for them, too. And then he got traded to San Francisco, and he kind of fell off a cliff a little bit in San Francisco because he got hurt. But once he was traded back to Atlanta, his game turned up back up. So I'm definitely glad a team like the Padres were able to sign him onto their squad for
absolutely.
Sure. You know, but just to talk about a few really good players on their team as well, they obviously traded for Blake Snell, who pitched in Game 7 of the World Series last year.
Who should have stayed in the game
during
the World Series last year.
I wasn't going to mention it, but since you did, yes. Who still should have stayed in the game. I will never forget that game as long as I live. But anyway, going past that, they also traded for Yu Darvish from Chicago Cubs. And, you know, Yu Darvish finished, I think, second in the National League Cy Young Award
wow.
winning last year behind Trevor Bauer.
It's a good little comeback for him, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, like, because basically ever since he was traded to the Dodgers during that 2017 World Series, he really hadn't been the same since that trade to the Dodgers. And then once he signed to the Cubs, he kind of slowly turned his career back up. And obviously last season he was really good. So I'm definitely glad a team like the Padres were able to get him. And that's just a couple of their really good starters. Like, obviously, as far as their relief pitching goes, they sign every relief pitcher known to man on their team, like Mark Melanson, Keone Kella, and others. And obviously, talking about their offense, they obviously got, you know, the guy we mentioned earlier, Manny Machado. They got Eric Hosmer, who was really good for KC for a long time. They got Tatis, who they signed to a humongous $14 million or 14-year, $340 million extension.
Yep.
That's just crazy to think about because he's only like 22.
My son will be driving when that contract is up.
Graham
will be driving when that contract's up.
When that contract's up, I'll be in my 30s.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy to think about because I'm not even 20 yet. But anyway, you know, like obviously you got that. You got Tommy Pham. You got Will Myers obviously still there, still kicking it. So the Padres are going to be a really great team next season. I'm looking forward to watching them play as well. Just to kind of hurry up through these last teams, you know, number three is the Yankees. Obviously the Yankees are pretty good. They a couple of moves they made in their pitching staff, just to mention, they did get Corey Kluber. Who was really good in Cleveland.
Yep.
He was hurt a lot for the Texas Rangers last year.
Is he finally not hurt?
Yes, pretty much. Yes, for now. Well, as a Red Sox fan, I kind of hope he doesn't go back.
Hey, easy, easy, easy. We're staying reverent here.
Just a little bit. I didn't say I wish he got hurt. I just say, you know, maybe not pitch as well. But, you know, but anyway, moving on. Sorry, I'm not being reverent right now. This guy's a little bit biased here. You know, they got Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon from the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm sure Jameson Taillon's is loving being out of Pittsburgh.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, I know, exactly. You know, and the... You know, and obviously, as a Red Sox fan, I've talked about the Yankees before. It's basically the same situation as far as their offense is concerned. Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Luke Voit, Gio Urshela. I don't even need to go on. Number four, Neil, is your Atlanta Braves.
Yes, sir.
The Braves are ranked number four, and the Braves are going to be really, obviously, a pretty awesome team this season and for years to come, for sure, because they got a really good young core. And they also made a couple of moves that I think you might like. They did sign Charlie Morton. I know he's getting up there in age, but he's pitched really good the last few years. Mm-hmm. And so, as a Braves fan, I'm sure you're pretty
excited. I was happy about that.
I'm sure you're definitely pretty excited about that move. You know, and obviously, they re-signed Ozuna, which I know... That was another topic we talked about, and I know you were happy
extremely happy about getting Marcel back.
Extremely happy that the Braves got him back. And then obviously you got the reigning National League MVP in Freddie Freeman, who came back from battling with COVID the first part of the season.
To win the MVP.
To win the MVP. That's a pretty good comeback story in itself, for sure.
Yep.
You know, so obviously the Braves are a really big team that is going to definitely want to be feared in the National League.
And hopefully we can take advantage of a 3-1 series lead in the playoffs this year. just kind of,
Well, okay. Well, Neil, on the bright side, at least your team was in the playoffs last year.
True. Yeah, the biggest flaw about my favorite baseball team is that they play in Atlanta. So, you know, they're just known for giving up huge leads in that city.
You had to bring up that. Oh, man.
So, it's okay. It happens.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right. Yeah. I understand that. But to round out this top five is another team in the National League East, the New York Mets.
Yuck.
I am honestly surprised that they're ranked as high, to be honest with you. I mean, like,
they're always hyped up.
I mean, both of the baseball teams from New York are basically like the Dallas Cowboys of baseball. They're always hyped up, and they always have these big expectations. The only difference is that the Yankees actually live up to those expectations most of the time. Just to kind of throw a little...
Oh, it's truth.
Shade on the Mets. But anyway, you know, like obviously the Mets had a really big trade earlier this offseason. They traded for all-star shortstop, one of the top shortstops in baseball, Francisco Lindor, as well as Carlos Carrasco, who came back from battling cancer last season. He came back and he was able to pitch, so I was really happy about that, which is, you know, which kind of leads me to just a quick little note here. Why doesn't the MLB be like the NFL and have a comeback player of the year award?
That's a really good question.
You know, because I would say if all players who deserve that, Carlos Carrasco should have definitely gotten that Comeback Player of the Year award after being out essentially all of 2019 because he was battling cancer, and he comes back and, you know, pitches well, and now he's got traded to a top five ranked team in baseball according to the people who make these rankings. Mm-hmm. So,
who did you get the rankings from anyway?
The rankings are from the official
MLB.com
website.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, so this is ranked by a bunch of writers from MLB.com.
Gotcha.
You know, so this is officially from the MLB, so I guess I'll take their word for it on
this
one.
Well, I'll agree with the top four.
Yes. Yes. The fifth spot, I would probably give to the White Sox.
Yeah, let me see, because let's see. We got 6, 7, 8 are White Sox, Twins, and Blue Jays. I think one of those would be over the Mets.
I would say that the White Sox would probably be the fifth one for sure. You know, like if we're just talking top five here, I would definitely say the White Sox are number five, just because the White Sox have also made so many moves this offseason, and they were a really good team last year. I think they're going to have at least just as good a team, if not a better team, this upcoming season. So I think the White Sox are definitely a team that should be talked about.
Yeah, since you kind of threw some shade at the Yankees, I guess when I can throw a little bit at the Mets, I'll believe it when I see it, okay?
Yes.
But, hey, your Red Sox, they cracked the top 20.
Yes, we did. And I was actually – well, I wasn't surprised, to be honest with you, because I don't think we're a top 10 worst team in baseball. I really don't think we are. I know our record – from last year says otherwise, but I honestly don't think we're a top 10 worst team in baseball. As far as the Red Sox go, man, I'm just looking forward to this season. I'm not having any big lofty expectations. I'm really not. Honestly, this year, I'm just looking forward to seeing how everything goes, because I think we're at a point, the Red Sox are at a point where I think they could definitely surprise some people. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're going to be like a surprise playoff team. If they were, I would obviously be very happy about that. I could, if the Red Sox are lucky, and I mean very lucky, they would just manage to squeeze into the playoffs. But but me personally, I don't see that. I hope they prove me wrong, though, as always. But the Red Sox did sign a couple free agents who I did like. Like I mentioned a few minutes ago, they did sign former Dodger Kike Hernandez to the roster, and I like that signing because we really didn't have that core utility player last year, you know, because the Red Sox used to have that in Brock Holt, and then we didn't bring him back after 2019. So 2020, we really didn't have that utility guy who can kind of play all over the field. So kind of having a guy like Hernandez, who's obviously been really good with the Dodgers, having that type of versatility on the team, I'm looking forward to. But the main thing I'm looking forward to is the pitching, because our pitching last year was, it was bad. You know, it was just terrible. I mean, like, because here's the thing. Watching the Red Sox last year, I wasn't confident hardly ever that we would ever win a game, just because even if the offense had a good day, we would probably still lose because our pitching would
– just wouldn't hold it.
Pitching just wouldn't hold the lead. The Red Sox did make a couple moves. They did sign Matt Endres, who used to be a Tampa Bay Ray and pitched for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's been okay. They also signed Garrett Richards, who used to be on the San Diego Padres, who has been injured for the last couple seasons. But, you know, just to have some form of major league stability in their rotation, I think, is definitely going to be big, because that's definitely one thing the Red Sox lacked was a lot of veteran experience on the pitching staff. Because really the only veteran that we had that was healthy was Nate Eovaldi.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, he was really the only veteran guy who had a lot of major league experience that was healthy last year. Mm-hmm. So kind of bringing in a couple of guys that had at least a little bit of major league experience, I think, is going to definitely help the team at least get better from where they were last year.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. For sure.
Well, here's your goal for the Red Sox.
Okay.
Just be better than Baltimore, okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Then you won't finish last in your division.
Well, Neil, okay, this is going to be a hot take. Now, I want us to look back at towards the end of the season, or at least halfway through the season, and I want you to – I want both of us to have this hot take in our brains, okay?
Okay.
I think the Red Sox are going to finish third.
Oh, okay.
In the East. Yeah. I think we're going to finish third place.
Well, so, I mean, you just got to be better than Baltimore.
Baltimore and Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. I forget Tampa Bay.
I was about to say Baltimore and Tampa Bay. And listen.
It's going
to
be tough.
And listen, I know Tampa Bay went to the World Series last year, but their team is so disbanded. And, like, all their best players are on different teams now. They're, like, they still got their younger core, and I think they're going to do good with that. But their team got so blown up They're just going to have to figure out what they're going to do. But I think the Red Sox can take advantage of that and see if they can try to get third place.
Cool deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I had more to say about, I don't pay attention to AL, American League Baseball that much. So I'm sorry I didn't contribute well to that hot take, but hey, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, sure, man, absolutely. All right, let's talk some Charlotte Hornets basketball, Neil.
Yeah, man.
The Charlotte Hornets, you know, the Charlotte Hornets as of this last week, they've obviously been kind of, you know, 50-50 recently. Mm-hmm. But that win against Golden State.
Yes.
That was a huge confidence booster.
Yeah, absolutely. They ended that homestand on a really, really good note.
A really, really awesome note for sure, man. And that was a really great game.
And my little take that we had last week and our little discussion that we had about the Hornets last week, that was proof right there that I think I'm right. And I think, yes. And I'm not the only one that says that. I have people that think that and you think that too.
Yeah.
I think we're right in that situation. Because where Terry was, you know, shooting lights out, I think he finished, what, 36, 30? He was mid to upper 30s again.
Yes. Well, I'm pretty sure in the fourth quarter they said in the game against Golden State, he had, in the fourth quarter, he had 20 points.
Yeah.
And he scored the last 10 points of the game for the Hornets.
And the game winner.
And the game winner, of course.
And so, and then, and while that's going on, Kemba Walker's not doing so hot.
No.
And they're getting whooped by New Orleans.
Yes.
And he's kind of goofing off on the court, and Boston media was not too happy about that.
I bet not.
And I put a tweet out after that game. I was like, yeah, hindsight, things look a whole little different.
A
little different. So, yeah.
Absolutely, man.
But then we dropped a dud. The Hornets dropped a dud Monday night against Utah.
Yes.
I was like, okay, I'll try to stay and watch some of this game. I didn't even make it a tip-off, Cody. Amber was at the gym. I'd fall asleep before she got home. Okay, I didn't even
I watched the first quarter.
Yeah.
You know, I watched the first quarter, and I said, I'm going to go to bed. Now, that's not saying I wasn't confident or anything. I was just tired and wanted to go to sleep.
Yeah, plus, they were playing Utah on Monday night.
Right.
Utah's the number one team
in
the
NBA right now.
They kept up with them. They just ran out of gas there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I was talking with James and our buddy Rowdy about it actually earlier this afternoon. James, like James said in a little text convo, we had their bench just ridiculous. Utah's bench is just they have so much depth.
Oh, I know, man. You know? It's insane.
And, you know, apparently if your name is Donovan Mitchell, you don't even have to dribble the basketball. You can just travel wherever you want to. but that, you know, that didn't determine the outcome of that game.
No.
What did determine the outcome of that game was Utah outscored Hornets down a stretch 41-11. So,
yeah
that's what won the game for Utah.
Yes.
And I think it helps to have fans at basketball games, Cody.
Yeah.
Because they had fans.
Does.
You know, that was really cool to see. They actually had fans in the arena. And
and
more than 14 of them.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's not like full capacity, obviously, just having fans in the building is a really big confidence booster and just making you feel a lot better about when you have games at home, just because you have fans there cheering you on, you know, like obviously not to the fullest capacity it can be, obviously, just, you know, circumstances and things like that, obviously. But just having fans cheering you on when you're playing at home is pretty awesome. And it wouldn't surprise me that that's one of the big reasons why the Jazz are playing as well as they are this year, because they're one of the few teams that has a lot of fans that are playing at their at home for them.
Yeah, and so it was a good ending to their little homestand. Not so great start to
the
road trip. They lost. It was final score was 132-110 to Utah. Wednesday night they have the Suns. Friday night they play Golden State again.
Yes.
Then Sunday they go to Sacramento, and then Monday on March 1st. They have Portland. So pretty stringent little road trip there on the West Coast. They're going to come back a little tired. And then
absolutely.
And then Wednesday the 3rd, they have Minnesota. So they'll start working their way back to the East Coast after that.
Yes.
So, yeah. So hopefully they got the bad juju out of their system last night, because they're going to need some points to beat Phoenix. They're going to need some points to beat Golden State.
Yes.
And, you know, who knows about Portland, but we know that hopefully we can probably only score about 20 and beat Minnesota. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true there for sure. But obviously talking about the Hornets, you know, one of the things that we've mentioned a couple times already on the show and talking about them is the lack of depth at the five hole.
Yes.
You know, having consistent depth at the position of center,
mm-hmm.
which got...
How convenient.
Which, how convenient that there's some news coming out that the Houston Rockets are going to waive DeMarcus Cousins.
Yes.
Now, okay, now say what you will about DeMarcus Cousins. I know he hasn't played the best the last couple years, especially this year with Houston. Just, you know, like obviously his mouth's gotten in the way a few times. But for those of you who even watch DeMarcus Cousins a little bit, you just know that that's just part of
what he does. Oh, yeah. That's just who he is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just part of what he does. But, Neil, I wanted to ask you your thoughts about this. Should the Hornets try to claim DeMarcus Cousins?
I'll be Palpatine again this week. Do it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Well, yes. I mean,
sign him to a deal that would go out at the end of the year. Okay.
Yeah.
And if it don't work out, oh well. Okay. Well,
oh, yeah.
It's not going to hurt anything. Okay.
Well, there are a few reasons as to why I think they should do it for sure. Because one, obviously the lack of consistent depth at the...
You can say Bismack Biyombo. It's okay
at
to
the
say
center
that.
Position. Yeah, okay. You know, but like just watching center play for the Hornets is really inconsistent. I'm not saying DeMarcus Cousins would fix that like tenfold or anything,
right.
But he would at least give you that much more depth at the center position. He's been known to be really good doing that.
He's really good at getting in the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. And obviously his stats on offense this year aren't going to wow anybody at all. But just having someone that's going to get in the way of guys in the paint, because that's one of the biggest issues the Hornets have had all season is opponents in the paint. They mm-hmm. have had a lot of points in the paint that they have allowed so many times to teams in the paint. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why they're a 500-level team is just that consistency in the paint.
Yeah.
I think if they can get DeMarcus Cousins, that play is going to get better. Mm-hmm. But also, I think if they get DeMarcus Cousins, it would help the veteran presence of the team. Because as we mentioned before, this is a very, very young team.
Yeah.
And having a guy like DeMarcus Cousins just in the building is going to make the team as a whole feel like they got another guy they can look to mm-hmm. Just to help out, just to help make them better.
Yeah.
Because I think I've mentioned the Hornets only have one player that's at least 30, and that's Gordon Hayward. And that's Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins is 30.
Mm-hmm.
Having two guys in their 30s to be a veteran presence in the team is going to not only help the younger players learn that much more, but it's going to give the Hornets depth. It'll give the Hornets depth at center. So it's not just Zeller and Biyombo in there all the time. Plus, you can change up the way you play center, too, because DeMarcus Cousins isn't an offensive guy. Mm-hmm. I would say Cody Zeller is more of an offensive caliber center.
Sure.
But just having a guy that you can swap out if you need some good situations, like to kind of hold guys from scoring. It's like you said, he can get in the way. He can do stuff like that. So if you ask me, with all that being said, I think the Hornets should absolutely try to go after DeMarcus
Cousins. Yeah, make a run for it. Absolutely. I mean, you got Melo. You got LaMelo Ball on the team who, like I said before, Bleacher Report's all but forgotten about Zion Williamson all of a sudden. You got guys like Terry Rozier who's shooting lights out, who's getting respect from guys left and right around the league. You got good role players like Miles Bridges. You got Gordon Hayward. People do respect Devontae Graham.
Okay? Yes.
Make a run for it. He might have some interest there. And like I said, sign him to a deal where it goes out at the end of the year, and if it ain't working out, you can move on. If it does work out, re-sign him, okay?
Oh, yeah.
The thing that I had a sour taste in my mouth about the whole Kemba situation when it happened. What really gave me a sour taste in my mouth was that Dwight Howard was such an issue here.
Yes.
Because on the court, man, that was so much fun. I went to the first game where he was with the Hornets, the home opener that year.
Yeah.
With my uncle. God, that was so much fun because we hadn't had that since Al Jefferson. And you can't compare Al Jefferson to Dwight Howard, but like
having a good center.
Yeah, exactly.
In there.
And just seeing how he could just almost get a triple double every single night,
Yes.
And him paired with Kemba wasn't terrible.
No.
But apparently, it just didn't work out locker room wise, and I wish that it would have. But so this is our next chance to get a guy with a good big man presence to, fill a spot on this team.
Yeah.
That could give us a pretty decent playoff run if we play our cards right.
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely, for sure. Plus, I just think given the injuries the Hornets have had as of recently, I think just adding him would already just provide more depth in general right there. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, people try to dog MJ all they want to. He's still the GOAT, okay?
Yeah.
He's not. Is he the GOAT owner? No, not yet. But, I mean, he went with Terry instead of Kemba. It's worked out pretty good.
Yes.
People said, don't pay Gordon Hayward. He paid him. Working out pretty good. People might not say, hey, don't get DeMarcus. He can ruin your locker room. But might be wrong. Let's just see what happens. All right, let's take a sidetrack and talk a few left and right turns.
Left and right turns today.
Let's recap the NASCAR race. Well, let's recap the Cup race, okay? Because NASCAR, you know, they have the Xfinity series and have Truck series, and those are really fun too.
Yes.
But let's talk Cup race, because that's what most people watch. But if you're diehards and if you're borderline diehard like I've gotten to, you'll watch the other ones. But let's mostly talk about the Cup Series race at the Daytona Road Course.
Yes.
So, like I said, last week we had the 500. Everybody came back home, basically took a shower, and went right back down to Daytona Beach for the road course.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the road course is a really interesting setup at Daytona, because 3/4 of the course is the oval, you know?
Right.
And then right past start-finish line, you take a hard left into the infield.
Yeah.
A few hard rights and lefts in there. Then it spits you back out on the oval. You can fly, and then on the back stretch, that's that little chicane thing that had to kind of skip across, fly a little bit more, a little chicane, and then start-finish again. This is the first time that I can remember right off the top of my head. I'm sure it's happened before, where the first two races of the season, we've had two first-time winners. Okay.
Yeah.
So we hadn't had a Denny Hamlin or a Kevin Harvick win yet. I mean, let alone, we're only two races in. But we had Michael McDowell win the Daytona 500.
Yes.
And we have Christopher Bell
winning
the road course race. I can't remember what the exact name of the race was. People just called it, you know, racing at the road course. But not only was this the first time win for Christopher Bell, this is his first time with Joe Gibbs. This is the first year with Joe Gibbs.
Yes.
Because people want to say, well, he's a rookie. No, he's not a rookie.
No.
He was with Levine Family Racing last year. He drove the 95 car, which is basically a souped-up Xfinity car in the Cup Series.
Yes.
Kind of getting your feet wet in the Cup Series when you were with Levine or somebody of that caliber racing team. But now he's with Joe Gibbs. He's in the 20 car. That was Eric Jones's car last year, who is Parrish's favorite driver, who's now in the 43. Just kind of had to show you how stuff works around there. But, wow.
That guy changed some stuff around.
I was thoroughly impressed with Christopher Bell in this race.
Oh, yeah.
He had absolutely no fear getting around Joey Logano. And how sour do you think Joey Logano is?
Extremely.
2 weeks in a row that he had it.
Yeah.
He
came that close.
And he was blocking with all his might.
Oh, I know. I was about to say, you know, like just watching it towards the end there, I mean, he was trying, dude.
Yeah, and well, thankfully this time it didn't end in a fireball.
No.
But Christopher Bell got around him and he won the race. And, you know, to see a guy that, you know, especially around the star-studded lineup that is the NASCAR Cup Series now, with all these veterans who've been there for years and years and years, and then you got a guy like McDowell last week who's been there forever.
Ever.
Finally gets a win. Then you have a guy who's this like new age, this new generation of Cup drivers come in and get a win in his second Cup Series race this season.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
And this is, you know, they keep advertising this Cup Series season as the best season ever. It's doing pretty good so far. And just think of the relief that McDowell and Bell have now, knowing that they're already in the playoffs.
I was about to say, like, they have won a race. Mm-hmm. No matter what happens the rest of their careers, they can say that they have won a Cup Series race.
Yeah, and no matter what happens the rest of the season, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, if they do terrible the rest of the year, which McDowell didn't do too hot this past weekend after his win, but if they do terrible the rest of the year, they'll get in. They'll have to fight for life in the first round when they get in there.
Yes.
You know, so it's good to stay consistent. It's good to stay a top 15, top 10 car if you can help yourself. But the pressure of having to win to get in, that's gone. Now you just race for points. And if you win again, that's great, you know?
Because right,
wins aren't going to come every day for teams like Michael McDowell's teams, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Christopher Bell has a really good chance of winning because he's driving a top-tier car.
Yes.
Because he's in like the power five of one of the racing teams with Joe Gibbs, okay?
Right.
And that's the guy I told you, maybe you should choose
him as
your favorite just because he's new guy, young guy, and you said you might pick a Toyota guy.
Well, I'm honestly kind of afraid to say choose it now because everyone's like, oh, you picked him just because he won.
No. People can go back and listen. I suggested back then, but you do what you want to do. As for me in my house, you know, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
but man, talking about how good it was for Christopher Bell, which, you know, what an awesome feeling it had to be. What an aggravation for Chase Briscoe.
Oh, yes, because wasn't he like in second place or something?
Yes.
At one point?
Yeah. So he, a lot of guys pitted, and he had pitted earlier in the race. And so he stayed out, and he bumped up from like 14th to second during the caution. I was like, oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Because it's like with 12, 13 laps left, and it was right when Church was starting. I was like, of course.
He's going to be top five.
Right when I got to go out and start this bonfire. And I walked back in to get something, and I peeked my head in, and Amber goes, he's still in second, you know, because she knew I was coming. To check. And then all of a sudden, we were out at the bonfire, and Parrish texted me and said, Chase's hood, oh, no. And I said, oh, so I'm at church, what happened? And I went back and watched it. His hood just decided, hey, I'm not going to be a hood anymore. I'm going to be a wing or something. Just I'm gonna take off.
Yeah.
And no, it didn't take off. It took off from the front and just stayed on his windshield.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
And that course took him from second to the mid 30s because it's really hard to run second on a road course when you can't see where you're going.
Yeah, that's true.
But props to Chase and props to his spotter for getting around that racetrack.
Yes.
With the hood covering your windshield.
I mean, like, just to be able to finish the race at all with that happening is impressive in itself.
Yeah, and of course they got it taken off, and he finished, it was mid to low 30s, which is kind of a fluke because he had a top 10 car, you know?
Yeah.
He was racing so good on that road course. I was so proud to watch that, and I was like, am I really going to see this guy get his first win in his second race?
Yeah.
You know, is this really going to happen? But I mean, he was right there. And he came out and said on Twitter after the race that he lost power steering during the race, too.
Really?
So he was – and think about how – you know, have you ever been in a car with no power steering? Hey, you just have to almost like with all your might steer the wheel.
Yes.
You know? With power steering, you can do this and the car is shaking back and forth, you know.
But without it, imagine, you got to turn it hard.
Imagine a road course – with no power steering in a race car, in a stock car.
Oh, dude.
He had to be exhausted.
Oh, after yeah.
That, let alone with the hood fiasco, too.
Yeah,
and
I know.
So, I mean, he was right there, but he just had all this stuff come about him, and he's got a little adversity to come over, but he can do it, man. And, you know, they're at Homestead this weekend. This is the third race in Florida in 3 weeks, you know, so they keep going south, and hopefully it'll stay good weather. It's another 3 o'clock start time. Don't get started on that.
Don't get you started on that.
And it's still
again.
In Florida, so it's probably going to rain. But hey, we're back on the oval this week. We got, I think, 6 more road courses on the schedule, which is be an adjustment for me, okay? Because I think I didn't enjoy the race as much this past weekend because that's not a traditional road course. It's a makeshift road course.
Uh-huh.
Because when you see them out and about on the big turns at Daytona and on the backstretch, you're expecting them to be going 200 miles an hour, you know?
Right.
But then all of a sudden they slow down for the chicanes. You're like, hold on, wait a second, we're on road course, I forgot. So when they get to these really to these traditional road courses like Sonoma or Watkins Glen, or they're going to a Circuit of the Americas down in Texas this year, that'll be really exciting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying this wasn't a bad race. For my personal view, I was like, man, I got to get used to these road courses, you know?
Right.
But we're back on the oval this week at Homestead, Miami. And, hey, who knows? We might see another first-time winner this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, the way things have been going so far this year wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, we'll see, man. All right, Cody, let's do some hockey talk.
All right, let's do it.
All right, honest question.
Okay.
Give me an honest answer.
Okay.
Have you watched any Hurricanes games this year?
I watched about 2 seconds of one of the pregame things.
Well, you've watched more than me. But, you know, coming from a...
But I haven't watched, like, any full game
from
yet.
Coming from a diehard Hurricanes fan over here, hence the sarcasm. But we have to mention this real quick.
Yes.
Hurricanes have the second-best record in the NHL. Okay?
Which is huge.
Well, 17 games played. They are 12-4-1, okay? And
nice.
The one is the overtime loss. That's how they do it in hockey. But they're right behind the Florida Panthers, who, yes, the Florida Panthers are in Miami. Even people in Miami don't know that they have a hockey team. And that's hockey talk.
All right. Next segment.
All All right, Cody. So as we close out the show after that, you know, exhilarating and exhausting hockey talk segment.
Yes.
We got to talk some football before we get done. Okay.
Yes, we do.
Because there is one name that's floating around football that people just won't stop talking about.
Yes.
And that is J.J. Jansen, the long snapper for the Panthers. No, it's not. It's Deshaun Watson. But we're not going to talk about Deshaun Watson right off. We're going to lead up to Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's get to what's going on with the Panthers. Okay.
Which part? There's a lot of parts.
All of it. Okay. So I keep talking about houses. Talked about houses, defending your turf in the Devo.
Yes.
I got a 2-part series in youth about being fixer uppers. Okay. Now we're talking about cleaning the house. Okay.
Yes.
It's not even springtime, and the Panthers are doing some spring cleaning in their locker room.
Yes, that's
a fact.
We have
said goodbye to Trey Boston. We've said goodbye to Stephen Weatherly.
Yes.
We've said goodbye to Michael Pilardi.
Michael Pilardi.
We've restructured Matt Paradis's deal, okay?
Yes.
He's all of a sudden going to make less money, okay? We're making room for something. We've got to be. And I'm going to say, you cursed Trey Boston, okay? We talked about all these Jerry Richardson guys being gone. And you
I did
him.
Curse Trey Boston.
You mentioned him.
I did mention Trey Boston.
A few days later, he gone, okay?
Trey, if you're listening to this, which I doubt you are, but if you are listening to this podcast, I'm so sorry, man. Because, like, when I watched you play, man, you were amazing on the team, man. I loved you on the Panthers, but I'm sorry I ruined your Panthers career. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did it, Cody. So he's gone. Pilardi's gone. Other guys are gone. They're cleaning house, dude.
Yeah, they are.
They freed up a lot of money over the weekend.
A lot of money.
And kind of makes you wonder what's going on. And to get people even more excited, ESPN Upstate, which is the down there in the Greenville-Spartanburg area. It's the ESPN satellite station down there in South Carolina.
Right.
ESPN Upstate tweeted on Monday night, or Monday evening around 6 o'clock, it has been confirmed by sources that Deshaun Watson would approve trades to the Jets, Dolphins, or the Panthers.
Huh.
Oh, boy.
Okay, first question. He would want to go to the Jets?
Well, not those first two teams I didn't even see. I just kind of had to read past
them.
Did you hear the last team I said?
Yes.
I said the Carolina Panthers. He would be okay with being traded to Carolina Panthers, Cody.
Okay.
And they're clearing all this cap room for not for Sam Darnold, I hope. Did I just put that on us? Oh, man. I was about to say,
oh, boy, man.
You cursed Trey Boston. I just cursed myself, didn't I?
I was about to say, like, okay, like less than 2 minutes ago, you were just saying how I cursed Trey Boston. I think I'm pretty sure that the Panthers starting quarterback next year is going to be Sam Darnold.
Oh, no, it's not going to happen. I'm going to agree with Phil Yates and him saying that next year's starting quarterback for the Panthers will be Deshaun Watson. Now, just like Jonathan Stewart tweeted on Tuesday, what is it going to be looking like if this happens? Because he tweeted the gif of Will Smith at the end of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, him looking at the empty house, because ain't nobody going to be left if we
nobody's going to be left
trading for him. Because as of if Peter Schrager was in charge of this, who he's over for NFL Network, he proposes that we trade, let's see, was it Bridgewater, McCaffrey,
Burns,
Robbie Anderson, and Brian Burns, and 3 first-round picks for Deshaun Watson.
That is crazy.
Absolutely not.
No, that's no.
No.
No. That's no. No. I mean, no. I mean, like, okay, like, let's just take parts of that deal. If I were to make this deal, just to say I were making this deal, like, because chances are it's going to be Christian McCaffrey trade.
Yeah.
Okay, like, and obviously for me, like I've said on the show, I don't want the Panthers to trade McCaffrey, but I'm just being honest here. If a trade for Watson were to happen, we would be trading McCaffrey. So I'm just going to say McCaffrey is going to be part of the deal. So I would do Christian McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson, and the 3 first-round picks.
Yeah.
I would do something like that.
Yeah.
And
Brian Burns is off the table.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
he like has to be off the table.
Brian Burns is off the table, and the reason why I didn't say Teddy Bridgewater is I'm sure you can find some other team that needs a quarterback, too. You could probably work something out there, or just have a really expensive backup.
Send him back to Minnesota.
Yeah. I mean, hey, yeah, for sure. Like, I'm sure Vikings fans would love it.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I can't see that happening. I wouldn't want to get rid of Robbie either, honestly. But
no.
If you get rid of him, you can reassign Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of kind of leeway there. You can't get rid of Brian Burns, man.
No.
Absolutely not. Have you seen what he's done the first 2 years and you just want to just give that away? no, you can't replace that dude. You really can't. And I'm not saying, kind of going back last week, you can't fully replace Christian McCaffrey, but you can get a guy to fill some slots, to fill some spots that he left open.
Yeah.
But you can't replace a guy like Brian Burns, dude.
Okay, yes, but having a guy like Brian Burns on the Texans would make sense for them because they don't have J.J. Watt anymore.
Absolutely.
So he could definitely replace that. I mean, I'm not saying they would do that, but
you're not wrong.
A Brian Burns type guy would definitely work
if
for the
Panthers.
Texans.
Call with that offer, the Houston Texans would be ridiculously not smart to not take that deal. You know, that's the nicest way of saying something else. They would that would be ridiculous if they didn't take that deal because that's so much.
That is a lot.
For one guy. But who knows who's going to be part of this trade deal, even if we get one, you know, offered, because according to Tepper, he's doing all he can to get ready for a trade offer to Houston. And ever since he said that, Teddy Bridgewater's unfollowed the Panthers on social media.
Yes.
And so has Shaq Thompson.
Which, you know, here's the thing. The fact that Teddy Bridgewater unfollow does not surprise me, obviously, because the guy you knew the Panthers were trying to get is a quarterback. That makes sense.
Panthers' social media hadn't hinted around the fact that they're looking for a quarterback either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he has reason to kind of be, like, done with them.
For sure. But the fact that a guy like Shaq Thompson unfollowed the Panthers now, that to me says a lot, because the Panthers just signed Shaq Thompson the big contract. Obviously, with Luke Kuechly retiring, he kind of became the main guy in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, not Tahir Whitehead.
Yes. but Shaq Thompson's the guy you kind of look to be that leader of the defense after Luke Kuechly left. The fact that he unfollowed the team is saying, like, okay, this is obviously something's happening here. I mean, like, obviously, like I said, Teddy Bridgewater kind of expected, just because of him not being in a hype video, and like you said, the Panthers social media, and just a bunch of other things, I kind of expected Bridgewater. But I did not think Shaq Thompson would do that.
That one surprised me, too, if I'm being honest. But, hey, man, who knows? I mean, you know, as soon as Deshaun Watson said he was not happy in Houston, Panther fans jumped all over that. And then we all got excited when that became a possibility. And then when we saw that he would approve a trade to the Panthers, it was like, oh my goodness. Because, you know, Amber told me the only way possible I could get another Panthers jersey is if it's a Deshaun Watson Panthers jersey.
Right.
So this has got to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
This needs to happen because it would look really good in my closet. Okay. Just saying. But man, who knows what's going to happen with this deal, because, you know, the Jets are in play and the Dolphins are in play, which, I mean, I don't know how the Dolphins could give up as much as the Panthers could, you know, equity-wise. And I don't understand or see the justification on giving up on Tua so quick. I can see why you want to give up on Bridgewater quickly, because it just didn't work out.
Right.
But giving up on Tua that quick, I don't think that's fair, okay? The Jets, they're trying to move away from Darnold, but do you do that and not have much to give up, or do you just take your pick and take Fields or Wilson or somebody like that?
Well, like, that was my whole point about the Jets, was kind of like,
who do they have to trade?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, okay, you got Sam Darnold and the number two pick. I mean, like, other than that, though, what do you have?
Jameson Crowder. And that has good trade value. But that's other than that, that's it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as far as the Dolphins go, I'm with you. I don't understand why the Dolphins would be so quickly to give up on Tua, especially because the season before that, you pretty much tanked the whole season just to get Tua.
Yeah.
And then after 1 year of him, and well, here's the thing. 1 year of him being on the team, because he didn't even play the whole season, because Ryan Fitzpatrick started half the year. You know, so really, you didn't even get a full sample size from Tua yet. You know, like, as far as the Dolphins go, they do have assets they can trade. Obviously, they got Tua, and they got a bunch of draft picks just because of the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Houston Texans for that, you know, like, for Dolphins fans. I mean, but, like, I just don't see the advantage of Miami getting Tua or getting Watson for Tua based off of what they already did to get Tua and where they did to get where they're at now. Because as of right now, the Dolphins are a pretty good team. I mean, they just missed the playoffs last year, you know, so that already shows where they're at. And with a really high draft pick, I think it's what, like, the number three pick in the draft,
just,
you know,
somewhere up there,
because of the trade they made with the Houston Texans for, I think it was Kenny Stills, for that trade to happen and for them to already be a good team, plus have a bunch of higher draft picks, if they could make that work, they would be even better.
Yeah.
So I guess I just don't understand why they would even be wanting to do that trade, but hey, whatever.
Now, equity and value in your picks, Jets and Dolphins have an advantage over their pick value.
Oh, yeah, but for sure.
Player value?
But as far as player value, Panthers definitely have the best.
But hopefully when it's all said and done and we're finally reporting a trade that happens, and hopefully it's going to become realistic in the next few weeks, hopefully it doesn't involve Brian Burns going, okay?
Yes.
And if we could all be winners, hopefully it doesn't involve Christian McCaffrey going either. But who knows? We'll see.
I guess so.
But with that being said, man, let's wrap up the show. You want to hear this week's Minor League Baseball Team of the Week?
All right. Yeah, man, let's hear it.
All right, so this week's Minor League Baseball Team of the Week is the Eugene Emeralds.
The Eugene Emeralds, yeah. Okay.
They're also nicknamed the M's, just for short. Their logo looks like a Bigfoot walking through like the Redwood Forest, which is kind of cool.
Question, what does that have to do with an emerald?
I guess
it's green?
Yes, green. Yeah, their logo is green.
Okay.
And I'm reading about it right now. Of course, they're located in Eugene, Oregon.
Right. Okay.
They are the members of the High A West and are affiliated with the San Francisco Giants.
Hey.
Eugene plays their home games at PK Park. They their colors are black, forest green, lime green, and white. Their mascot name is Sluggo. And like I said, they play at PK Park, and their owner is David Elmore, and their general manager is Alan Benavides. And that's the first time I've ever read that name. So if I butchered it, sorry, I think I just butchered the word butcher too. See, I can't talk either. So, all right, well, that's all I got, man.
Yeah, that's all that I have too. I really hope y'all enjoyed hearing me talk about baseball for 30 minutes, because I know that was probably way too much for y'all to hear. And for those of you who probably skipped to the next segment, I completely understand why. But with that being said, please make sure to like us and follow us and subscribe to this podcast wherever you may find them on your different podcasting hosting sites. And please also make sure to follow us on all of our social medias, and those will be in the show notes of this podcast, as well as some timestamps where you can fast forward, or not fast forward, but you can look up the different segments of the show. So if you want to listen to a certain part of the show, those will also be in the show notes below. And I guess with that being said, we will see you guys next week.
Yeah, y'all have a great week. Bye.